thank you, Lord, that you're the Lord who speaks, and you speak today through the mouth of your servants. And thank you for what you have put on Stephen's heart for us all this morning. Thank you to give us open hearts to receive what is for each of us. And if each of us can receive something different, but it's still the same word of God, unique and personalized and wonderful and powerful. Thank you, Lord, for giving life to this world that we're about to hear, so that it can feed us deeply and make us love you more and more. Thank you, Father. To you be the glory. Amen.
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 Please be seated. The ministry of the word, also known as preaching or message, is going to be interspersed through the other things we're going to do today. And we're going to start off with the first bit of our talk. So, does this have the power to move it? Well, that's okay. That will do nicely. The Book of Acts. Now, you will have noticed that the last couple of weeks have had a focus on the Book of Acts. And we're going to be looking again today at parts of Acts chapter 2. And the Acts is the record of how God grew his church. Now, do I have the power to
move away from your stand in front of you, sideways.
The other side?
I don't know.
What's the key?
I don't know.
goodness. Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'll have to ask Ruth to. It's a complete mystery.
Can you do it manually?
I can do it manually.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Rosie.
So, the Acts of the Apostles. Now, there's a picture there of the apostles with the things above their heads. Can you see what those are? Tongues of fire. And at the top, there's an image of Holy Spirit descending. So if you turn to Acts chapter 2, it's the time when they were gathered in the upper room and the Holy Spirit descended. But I'm going to focus on three particular verses in this chapter. Acts chapter 2. And the first one is verse 26. When David is saying, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exulted, and my flesh also will abide in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. So there's David with a rejoicing heart. Now, Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 37. When they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? So we're going to talk about pierced hearts. And then Acts 2, verse 46. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So there's some sincere hearts. Now, I'll have to ask Ruth to do some clicking. So if you can do the first click, let's see if that brings up a piece of text. So types of hearts. So click away until we've got the three.
It's not getting the text up from the...
Oh, it keeps on taking it backwards.
If I click now, it should bring the text up, but it's not.
Oh, here we are.
have to preach from the heart.
Oh, here we are. Oh, well, it's going to come as a PowerPoint rather than as or it's going to come as a PDF rather than a PowerPoint. Okay, it's preaching from the heart. Here we are. It's by Dr. Luke, the beloved physician. Now, you may recall that Dr. Luke has already written the Gospel, and it's called...
Luke.
And he's referred to in the book of Acts, or somewhere in the Bible, I forget where, as the beloved physician. And he wrote two books. And this second one is it's written for a solicitor. It's written for the solicitor who was going to defend Paul in his trial in Rome. And it's explaining how Paul is a law-abiding citizen and how he's not done anything wrong. And so the book of Acts is the record by a very careful historian created to give to a solicitor to present in court at a time when the witnesses were still alive. So it's true and it's verifiable, and it gives us confidence the book of Acts is an accurate record. It's also known as the Acts of the Apostles. You've heard of the Sword of the Spirit. Sometimes this book is called the Acts of the Apostles. That's a bit of a joke, actually. But it's about the continuing acts of Jesus Christ, because in verse 1, the first verse in the book of Acts, talks about Jesus began to do and teach stuff. And in the book of Acts, it's the continuation of what Jesus began to do and teach. It's also the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is mentioned 70 times in this book, and God is mentioned 100 times. So put it all together, it's the Acts of God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit in the Apostles. We call it Acts of the Apostles, though actually not very many of the Apostles are mentioned, and they did loads of things that are not mentioned. So there we have the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Let's move on. Okay, we've got joyful heart, pierced hearts and sincere hearts. So let's move on from that. Here we are. Now, David was the man after God's own heart. We know that. And in this passage, it's quoting a psalm, which Christine is going to read for us in a moment.
Rachel
is going to read for us in a moment, at Christine's request. So let's come back to that one. Let's hold on that for a moment. In Acts 2, verse 26, it quotes that David's heart was glad, he was full of gladness, and his tongue rejoiced. Now, I pose the question here before Rachel gives us the reading. What was it that made David's heart rejoice? And you've got that lovely verse in Proverbs that says, a joyful heart is good medicine. Proverbs 17, verse 22. So we're going to do some good to our hearts in a minute, but let's have Rachel to read that. So this is something else for Ruth, another challenge, because it's a different kind of thing. If it takes two... Oh, here, good. Here we are.
Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
Thank you, Ruth. I posed the question, how could David's heart rejoice? What made David's heart rejoice? What did he do that resulted in a joyful heart? And I found four things that are quoted in the book of Acts from this psalm, Psalm 16. So we're going to, with bated breath, they will appear. You caught a glimpse of it there. I'm going to slide over, yes? David was a great comfort to God. That's incredible, isn't it? To think that a person could be a great comfort to God. When King Saul failed and disobeyed God and turned his heart away from God, God said to Saul, I have looked for a man after my own heart who will follow me and love me, or words to that effect. And God found David, because elsewhere in the book of Acts, in Acts 13, verse 22, there's this testimony about God finding something he was looking for. Acts 13, verse 22. After he had removed King Saul, he raised up David to be their king. Concerning all also, he testified and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. And from the offspring of this man, according to promise, God has brought to Israel a saviour, Jesus. So, do you think God is still interested in finding men and women after his own heart? I think so. And we have the opportunity to do that, to be that. And I'm going to tell you the four things in faith that they'll appear on the screen. Because David did four things. Number one, he was always beholding the Lord in his presence. He was always looking out for signs of God at work. He was always seeing God in things and people. He says, I was always beholding the Lord in his presence, which is a cultivation of the spirit and of the heart. Where is God in this room? And any answers? He's in the hearts of goodness knows how many people, 16 people. And where else is God?
Everywhere.
Everywhere? He's in the wood that made the flooring. He's in the music that we sing. He's in the paintings and the gifts that he gave people to be able to paint. Where else is God? He's in our memories. He's in Nick's memory. Nick remembers when God has done good things and appeared and seen Jesus and so on. Oh, look. Hey, we're back on track. Can you, any more? Does it still work? Yes. Okay. Thank you. So here's the four things. David chose to always look for the Lord and see the Lord. Second thing was, God was at his right hand. Now that's interesting. Did you know that God is holding your right hand? Just a thought. God's at your right hand. I knew one Bible teacher, Dennis Clark. I think he used to say that he would raise his left hand because his right hand was already holding on to God, or being held by God. I mean, it's just a little bit fanciful, but just consider God is at hand. He's right close with us. The third thing that made him joyful, he looked ahead. Verse 31. So here he was 1,000 years before Jesus came, and yet he was looking ahead to see what God was going to do. And out of that heart, he prophesied the resurrection of Jesus. And it's quoted in our Acts chapter 2, And Peter was quoting it in his sermon on Pentecost Day. So David, who we don't think of as a prophet, we think of him as a king and a poet and a shepherd. He was also a prophet because of his focus on the Lord, always seeing the Lord, choosing to regard God as at hand, looking ahead to see what God would do, God gave him words that were going to be effective and powerful. I think even that's a sermon in itself, isn't it? Because God gives us words that arise out of focusing upon his presence and his closeness and looking to see what God wants to do. I had a lovely time yesterday, and a few people were present also. My commissioning as a street pastor, and I know some people wanted to come but were not able to. And that was a lovely time, a bit of a long service, I think we might agree, those of us who were there. But it was good seeing these people who, four of us were commissioned, and there were lots of other street pastors there, including John, who's been one before, and lots of the prayer pastors also, who are the people who pray solidly while the street pastors are out on the beat.
And Stephen, it's a pleasure to see you in your blue baseball cap. I hadn't seen your baseball cap before.
Ah, we were issued with our uniform, with our caps. I was given my cap. I haven't brought my cap. Should have brought it along, really. It says street pastors. But actually, we're not supposed to wear the uniform except when we're on duty, because it's a team thing. And we're only street pastors when we're there doing the shift. Number one, we're together as a team. Number two, we've got the prayer pastors praying at the same time, because we never go on the streets unless the prayers are praying at the same time. That's one of the rules. So I'm looking ahead to see God doing great things on the streets in Swindon.
Amen.
And what the police notice about the street passes is the things that don't happen. Because the crime rate drops by one third. They stop one in three crimes happening, which is exploitation of vulnerable people, as well as getting people home, getting them into taxis and giving them flip-flops if they've lost their shoes and they're treading on broken glass and all that sort of stuff. So let's just take a moment. I haven't quite finished, so I'll give you a little bit of a break. Just I want you to focus on the Lord, something the Lord has done that you're really grateful for, or something that you are thinking about that you would wish the Lord would do, or a situation that you would love him to be present in. Maybe some problem, maybe you need something, maybe you've got a difficult conversation coming up, maybe there's a decision to make. Just look at that. You're in the Lord's presence, he's at your right hand, and I want you just to, with our usual way of slowing down the breathing and focusing on the heart, just focus on the Lord to start off with, whether you see him as God the Father, or whether you see him as Jesus, or whether you sense him as the Holy Spirit. Whatever way God is real to you, most real, just get that connection with him. And you know, as we all do that, it makes it easier for each one of us to do that, because we are supporting one another. So focus on the Lord. Bring that situation to him. And with that gratitude, thank you, Lord, you have done so good things for me already. You've solved problems in the past. And I bring to you this situation right now. And I receive your strength as I breathe in. And I thank you. And I receive your love as I breathe in. And I thank you. And I receive your wisdom as I breathe in. And I thank you. And I receive your insight as I breathe in. And I thank you. And let's say in our hearts, thank you, Father, for what you're doing in me. Thank you for whatever it is I've just brought to you. I declare you're at work, and you are the victor. You are my strength. Let's say that out loud. Lord, you are my strength.
Lord, you are my strength.
Lord, you are my light.
Lord, you are my light.
Lord, you are my salvation.
Lord, you are my salvation.
Lord, you are my wisdom.
Lord, you are my wisdom.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That's David's joyful heart. Let's come on much more quickly to the other two hearts. Pierced hearts. And yes, if you want to just open it all up there, Ruth. They were pierced to the heart as they heard. Interesting, in chapter 7 there was another sermon by a chap whose name happened to be Stephen. And he had an impact on his hearers. They were also pierced to their heart, but their response was very different. So here you've got that they repented, they received God's word, and they were baptized. Repentance, it's a change of mind to see things in the way that God sees them. It's a good definition of repentance. We can keep on repenting. We can keep on choosing to view things from God's perspective instead of from ours. That's repentance. Repentance is not just about feeling terribly sorry and terribly bad. It's about continually yielding our minds and our thoughts to God's perspective. They received God's word and they were baptized. In Acts chapter 7, unfortunately, the people with pierced hearts responded by stoning Stephen. There's a choice. Father, I want to ask you to speak to all our hearts now with a piercing which is wholesome and with a challenge which is full of love. As we come together, Father, in your presence, we want to hear your voice. We want to know your love and your heart for us. So as we still ourselves in your presence, will you speak to us about something that we need to deal with or put right or move away from or renounce, or something that we're holding on too weakly and we need to hold on more strongly, something you've shown us that we need to follow or remember. Let's just accept the Lord speaking to our hearts and dealing with our hearts for a moment, just in silence. And this is entirely between you and the Lord. And we say, I say, thank you, Father, for what you're showing to us. That which we need to renounce, we renounce in the name of Jesus. That which we need to embrace more fully, we embrace more fully and we receive it from your hand. That which we have forgotten about, we choose to remember and live in your light. Above all, we receive your grace, your mercy, your continual forgiveness, your strength. We get up where we've fallen and we keep on walking with you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And then coming on to the final. Sincere hearts. And if you want to open that all up, Ruth, there's a couple more. One more, I think. It says in the end of the chapter, the disciples ate together with gladness and sincere hearts. And those who believed were of one heart and one soul. God is uniting our hearts. When we do these things together in God's presence and in our own presence, we're supporting one another and God is working among us. This is one of our prayers, of course, that in our fellowship we're going to be united, moving forward together in what God is giving us to do. And that word sincere hearts, that was up there, for those of you who are Greek scholars, there's at least three of you. The word is aphlakes, which is a unique word, only appears once in the New Testament. It means simple, sincere, and generous. It's like a child's heart. Sincere, it's not complicated, and it's mixed with generosity as well. So as we come together, the sort of heart that God wants is the heart of a child, which is not sulking and foolish, but it is simple and sincere and wanting to give out what we're receiving. And this is the heart of when we meet together. We receive something from the Lord and pass on to one another.